Welcome to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. This program is designed to teach and educate you about the history and the infallibility of God's holy word. We trust you'll find today's program challenging and encouraging. Your host, Bruce Musselman, combines many years' experience as a pastor, author, and conference speaker. Here now with today's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, good afternoon. Of course, this is not Bruce Musselman sitting in here today. I'm Pastor Al Davis, and I'm filling in for Bruce Musselman here on today's edition of Where is God's Word? Bruce had some things he had to take care of today, and Lord willing, he'll be back with us again next week. But I just appreciate the opportunity that Bruce gave me to be able to fill in. A lot of times I'm sitting in the background trying to take care of some things to help him out, and occasionally on air with him with a science in the Bible segment and some different things like that. Case like today, give me the opportunity to fill it and take over. And so, like I said, he'll be back with us, Lord willing, next week. I also want to mention, of course, you can continue to follow Bruce and Where is God's Word at the website, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. I have a number of pieces of information there for Bruce. I put that together for him. I'm not by any means a trained web page designer or anything, but we try to get by, and you can listen to past programs that Bruce has done all at whereisgodsword.com. And in addition to that, you can also see some other things that are there. There's some other material there. It's not just the past programs. There's references to many of the books and things that and resources that he mentions. You can find all of that at whereisgodsword.com. You can also see some cases where Bruce has been preaching in some places and also singing in some places. You can listen to that also as well. And there's a link to some articles and things. And just to mention some of the books that are there, of course, there's Which Bible Would Jesus Use by Jack McElroy, and Hazardous Materials. We've got More Sure Word, The Bible. Which Bible is the Bible, or which version is the Bible, and As America Has Done to Israel, and a number of other things that you can all find if you go to whereisgodsword.com. And, of course, bear with us, Lord. We try to keep the programs updated on there, and I get a little bit behind there because I also maintain web pages for my radio program, which is Live with Pastor Al, which is also here on AM 1220, The Word, every Friday afternoon at 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and then every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight. We have live programs both of those times. And so if you've not listened before, I encourage you to listen sometime. I'm also the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And we meet in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road, right in northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right off the highway between, right off the highway where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, crosses Interstate 77, right there on Brecksville Road. And you can, if you're not getting a place to go to church and looking for a church that stands up for the King James Version of the Bible, I encourage you to come out and visit us sometime. And, enough of I give my website as well. You can go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can find out more about me and our program and the church there. But today, filling in for Bruce Musselman here on Where is God's Word? And Bruce usually has me do something on science in the Bible, and I was looking at a couple of things, and actually, here this morning, I kind of changed direction to where I was going to go, because it's always different things. There's so many things you could talk about, and there's always so many choices, but I thought, now here's one that I'm going to use that it combines both some of the science in the Bible, as well as the importance of which Bible you use. And for this, I'm going to turn over to the book of Hebrews. in the book of Hebrews here we have in Hebrews chapter 1, and starting in Hebrews 1, the Bible says here in verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now that's Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That's all one sentence. And one of the things that you'll quickly understand if or see, if you begin comparing the King James Version of the Bible, the King James Bible preserves the long sentence structure of the original languages. And when you compare the King James Bible with the newer versions, you'll find these sentences are chopped up. I remember when I was in school, my English teacher is always saying, oh, this is a run-on sentence. You need to make it short and sweet. Chop up the sentences into short sentences. Keep it concise. We had the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid. And, well, that's at least what they said in our class. And so we had all this emphasis on doing that. And but in the 1600s, they did not have that emphasis. In fact, if you read books dating back into the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, you'll find that oftentimes the sentences were rather lengthy. It almost looks like mini paragraphs. And there's a reason that they talked that way, because the language was more precise and they wanted to be able to develop their thoughts and ideas within the sentence more fully and more colorfully. In a sense, it's like drawing a picture. If you remember talking about school, if you were back in school trying to draw a picture and color it with a box of crayons that had, you know, 8 colors or 16 colors versus the big box of 64 colors, you could do a lot more with the different variations of color. So it also, but more importantly, represents an accurate depiction of the original Greek and Hebrew and such, which where they wrote in longer sentences. And this sentence here that I picked out, we're going to look at a portion of the sentence here in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 2, where he makes the statement here that that in Hebrews chapter 2, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And it says there, by whom also he made the worlds, meaning by whom also God made the worlds. And that little word by, B-Y, seems a bit insignificant. However, when you compare that word into some other translations of the Bible, the little word by disappears. And instead, in many other of these versions, you see substituted for the word by, you see the word through, T-H-R-O-U-G-H. The New International Version, for instance, says by he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. But that word through is a lot different than by. And here's where it becomes important. The word through argues the idea that Jesus was kind of a conduit, in a sense that, as they say in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made by him, but in the New International Version, it says, through him all things were made. And in John chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the New International Version again says, he was in the world, and through the world, and though the world, a little unclear here, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him. And let me give you another one here. in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. He says, all things were created by him and for him. And the New International Version says, all things have been created through him and for him. And one more here in 1 Colossians chapter 1, or I'm sorry, chapter 8, verse 6. And one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. And then in the New International Version, of course, it says there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. And the idea here is that Jesus Christ, God did not use him as a conduit through which he made these things. Instead, what happened here is that God by himself made these things. Say, wait a minute, where does it say that? You just read there in Hebrews, even in the King James, it says that he made it by his son. Well, when we compare the various scriptures that we have in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse number 24, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord. Now, Lord here is a capital letters, capital L, and then depending on how your King James Bible is typeset, it'll either be all large capital letters like mine has, or it'll be a large capital L followed by smaller capital ORD. And this is to signify this comes from what we would say is Jehovah. And so you could literally say, thus saith Jehovah, thy Redeemer. And he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord. And there it is, all capital letters again, Jehovah, that maketh all things. And then here's the key, that spreadeth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Now here's a problem. If God created, as say the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, and they're not alone in this, but they're one of the best known groups that teach this. The Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. In fact, they've changed, for instance, in their New World Translation of the Bible, some key verses. And one of them, for instance, in the Gospel of John chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, with a capital G, they changed it based on a spurious text that was provided to them. They found a German text by a defrocked Roman Catholic priest by the name of Johann Gerber, who under his own testimony admitted that he translated that differently under the direct instruction of a demon. That would be a fallen angel, a devil. And he translated it to say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God with a little g. And so the Jehovah's Witnesses, since they have a theology that's the doctrine of devils rather than the doctrine of the Bible, doctrine of the Holy Spirit, doctrine of God, they don't like the teaching that says that Jesus is God, and so they had to change that, and so they changed it to say, instead of, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, with a capital G, they changed it to, and the Word was a God, with a little g, signifying he's a created being. That's because they believe he's Michael the Archangel, and basically, what they believe is that God, Jehovah God, created Michael the Archangel, and then in the book of Genesis, in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, where we read, you know, in the whole of Genesis chapter 1, we have the creation story here, creation account, but where we read in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, they believe that in the beginning God created Michael the Archangel, whom we call Jesus, and then through him created the heaven and the earth. And here's where that little word through comes into importance. They believe that God created Jesus Christ as a created being. And he may be an exalted created being, but he's a created being that had a beginning, even though the Bible's clear that he's without beginning. They say he had a beginning. He was created, and then God, through him, created everything that we see. Now, that's a little bit different than all things were created by him. As he said here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, where he says that by whom also he made the worlds. And also in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made by him. It doesn't say in your King James Bible that Jehovah God created all things through Jesus. It says that he created things by him. And let's take a look here again back at where I read in Isaiah chapter 44. In Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 24, let me read this again. Okay. Again, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." Now, here's a problem. If God created Jesus Christ, if Jehovah God created Jesus Christ, or Michael the Archangel, if you're sympathizing with the Jehovah's Witnesses, and then decided to use him and create everything through him, rather than directly create everything, then we have a problem with this verse here in Isaiah chapter 44, don't we? Because Jehovah God said, "I that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." Now, I put a deck on the back of my porch a few years ago, and a friend of mine helped me do it. Now, I can say that I put a deck on the back of my porch. I just did. But I cannot say I did it alone. I cannot say I did it by myself. I did it through my friend who helped me. I did it through our combined efforts. You know, it was my idea. I supplied the funds and the design, and then my friend helped provide the expertise and the labor to help that we could put it together. I cannot say that I did it alone. I can say I did it, but I did it through the help of somebody else. I did it through somebody else in that sense. And when we look at this passage in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 24, this tells us that there's only one God. And several places here in Isaiah, in these chapters right around chapter 44. In fact, I'll stay in chapter 44 for just a minute. Let me go back up to verse number 6, where he says, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." Meaning he says there's no God beside me. And then in verse 8 he says, "Fear not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it, ye are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." And we can go back to chapter 43, where he says in verse number 10, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." You know, we're talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, unfortunately, the Mormons don't fare very well in these passages, if you've been paying attention, especially there in Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Where he says, "Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." Well, that right there just threw Mormon theology out the window, because one of the central tenets in Mormonism is that as man is, God once was, and as God is, man can be. Meaning that Jehovah God was once a man who became a god. He worshipped another god who likewise was once a man who became a god. And that god had likewise worshipped another god who was once a man who became a god, and et cetera, going I don't know how far back. And then if you're a faithful Mormon, you do everything that's necessary and do all their things, get sealed and married and sealed and everything in the temple and do everything right, you can become a god as well. But yet the Bible said there was no God before Jehovah God and no God formed after him. Now, that makes problem for people who believe in more than one God, or that Jehovah God is a successor to other gods and a predecessor to still more. It says clearly there's only one God, and no gods formed before him, no gods formed after him. There, beside him, there is no God. He knows not of any other gods. That's because there is no God. Chapter 45, Isaiah 45, verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. Continues, I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, verse 6, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Now, this is important, because when he said, I am the Lord, in Isaiah 44 and verse 24, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, Jehovah God, the only God, the only God that exists, the only God that the Bible says is a real, actual God, not a work of fiction, he claims that he created everything by himself with no help. He didn't create somebody and then let them do it or do it through them. He did it alone. He did it by himself. So when we come over to Hebrews chapter 1 in the New Testament, where it says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, and then says in verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And he then goes on to say, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Well, that tells us right there, just not going any further, that tells us that it's God that made the world, so Jesus Christ is God. God the Son is God. When you take that word by and replace it with through, you've altered the meaning and you've taken away the teaching right there that Jesus is God. I say, well, you're Pastor Al, you're reading into that. You're just making an assumption there. You're just reading into that. Well, let's take a look a little further here in Hebrews chapter 1. Let's go down a little bit further in verse number 6 where he says, verse number 6 where he says, and again, whom or when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, now let's pause there for a moment. See right there, Pastor Al, first begotten. He's the first one that God created. Now, I don't have time to get into this right now, but if you study this out, I'll give you the verses, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 18. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 18. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. It's Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Look them up. You find out first begotten refers to the first in the resurrection. He's the first begotten of the dead. Jesus Christ is the first to die, to be buried, and to be resurrected. Not resuscitated only to die again, but resurrected in a resurrected body. He's the first fruits, the first begotten of the dead. And I don't have time to explore that more right now. But then he goes on to say here in verse 6, and let all the angels of God worship him. Ten Commandments says something, doesn't it, about not worshiping anybody other than God? But here's God saying, worship the Son. Worship Jesus Christ. And then he says this, he goes even further. He says in verse 8, but unto the Son, this is God the Father saying to the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Do you see what happened there? God the Father called Jesus Christ, the Son, God, and told the angels to worship him. Now, if God the Father and Jesus Christ are God, if they make up the Godhead, well, guess what? God, by himself, stretched forth the heavens alone. God, by himself, spreadeth abroad the earth by himself. And all things were made by him, because he is God, and there are no other gods, and he did this all himself. Well, there's a lot more that we could explore in Isaiah chapter 43, 44, and 45, and elsewhere, talking about the Godhead. And we're fast running out of time here, but let me just read Isaiah 44, verse 6 again. Thus saith the Lord, that's Jehovah, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah of hosts, belongs to the Jehovah, King of Israel. That encompasses part of the Godhead right there. There are three that bear record in heaven. 1 John 5:7 says, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. That's a subject for another time as well. That's why they try to take that verse out of the Bible as well, say it doesn't belong, even though it goes all the way back to being quoted in the 2nd century and 3rd century and 4th century, and they try to pretend that it wasn't. But words have meanings, and they mean something. Get a good King James Bible, study it, read it, learn it, and the Word will set you free. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. To learn more on this topic and to contact Bruce, visit his website at whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. That's whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. There you will find a vast array of resources on this topic, including copies of previous programs, articles by Bruce, and links to other recommended materials. Bruce is also available to speak to your church or organization. Again, that web address is whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the faithful listeners in this area.